Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to GPT Infra Projects Limited earnings conference call for the first quarter of fiscal 2022. The presentation for this quarter has been uploaded on the website of the stock exchanges as well as our website. We hope that you have had a chance to go through the same. Our investor relations advisor, Stellar IR, is also available on the call. As we are meeting on this call within a very short duration of a month of almost 45 days from our last call of fourth quarter FY21 results, we will run you through a quick snapshot of the quarter. The second wave of COVID that hit the country in the months of April and May saw strong proliferation of cases across the country. While the pace was alarming, thankfully it peaked quickly and hopefully the worst is behind us. While the healthcare systems continued to face the brunt of the second wave, the economic activity did not seem to be disrupted as much as it was in the first wave. Operationally for GPT2, we continue to work at most of our project sites as well as our manufacturing facilities with little to no disruption. As we have updated you, the government's focus on CapEx has led to a significant higher outlay for the sectors that we operate in fiscal 2021. With the second wave, the focus of the government ministries was diverted to healthcare, and rightfully so. As a result, the ordering activity in the first quarter was muted, but we were able to successfully get incremental orders of Rs. 159 crores in Q1 FY22. The stellar growth in our order book in the previous fiscal, backed by the order intake of almost 930 crores, has helped us weather this small blip in ordering activity, and our current order book stands at almost 18.6 billion rupees, which is almost three times FY21 revenues. Now let me take you through the key highlights for the company's operational and financial performance during the quarter gone by. On the execution front, most of our infrastructure projects progressed well, barring some slowing down of activity as a result of the second wave of COVID-19 in the beginning of the quarter. On the concrete sleeper side too, execution of our key order, that is the FCC order in the UP facilities, was much higher compared to last year. Our Namibian operations also continue to operate at an all-time high capacity utilization with good cash flow and dividends to their respective shareholders. However, the operations in South Africa are currently witnessing disruptions due to the combination of renewed COVID-19 containment measures as well as recent civil unrest in the country. We are carefully monitoring the situation and hope that this will be resolved soon. Overall, our consolidated revenues for the past quarter, that is Q1 FY22, posted a growth of approximately 46% year-on-year, with infrastructure segment posting a growth of 63% year-on-year, and concrete sleeper segment at 8% year-on-year. In terms of segmental contribution, the proportion of concrete sleeper lowered from 23% in Q1 FY21 to 16% in Q1 FY22 due to disruptions in South Africa, while deliveries specifically in the SEC contract remained high. On our margins and profitability, we continue to focus on strong discipline on cost, and our continued focus on strengthening the company's operating leverage has borne fruits and led to an increase in the operating profitability. The bidding discipline that we maintain while bidding for new contracts continues to be the primary factor for stability in the EBITDA margins for the company in the range of 13-15%. Our consolidated EBITDA for Q1 FY22 grew 11% year-on-year to 190. Although EBITDA margin fell from the unusually high margin recorded in Q1 FY21, when compared sequentially, it has increased by almost 400 basis points year-on-year to 16% from our typical range of 13-15%. The profit after tax share of associate and minority interest has grown by 170% year-on-year to 4.5 crores in Q1 FY22 versus 1.7 crores in Q1 FY21, largely on the back of improved execution, operating leverage, lower depreciation and interest costs. The PAT margin has remained largely stable. We are also happy to report that there have been positive developments on the matter relating to the ongoing dispute resolution between our subsidiary and NHAI. As we had updated you in the last conference call, the company has opted for the conciliation of the dispute through a conciliation of Committee of Independent Experts as per Part 3 of the Arbitration and Conciliation Amendment Act 2015. We are confident of an amicable resolution of this matter in the current fiscal, which could lead to enhanced liquidity for the company. Coming to our balance sheet, we are pleased to report that our operating and liquidity position continues to improve. As we have mentioned in our earlier calls, we have been optimizing our working capital in addition to paring some of our long-term debt. In the quarter gone by, we have seen an improvement in our working capital days and believe that that we are on the cusp of a virtuous cycle of lowering working capital days and strong cash flow. We also expect release of some long overdue outstanding from various clients, which was at 49 crores in March 2019 and reduced 25 crores in March 2020, and despite COVID reduced further to 20.8 crores last year, and is further expected to reduce by 4 to 5 crores this year. In addition, outstanding tax refunds are also being processed by various departments, which will lead to easing of the cash flows for the company. Overall, we do not foresee any challenges in meeting our debt obligations or liquidity for the business. This has led to improvement in the current ratio from 1.05 in FY20 to 1.2 in FY21 and 1.25 as on June 2021. Lastly, let me share with you key highlights of some of the key contracts under execution for the current fiscal. Some of our key projects under execution include the Ghazipur order worth almost 378 crores from RVNL, which is running smoothly with a quarterly run rate of almost 30 to 35 crores, and its closure is expected over the next 18 months. In addition, the Dalpur contract with RVNL, which saw an incremental order inflow this quarter, is also running very smoothly. When both these contracts are completed, this will allow us to bid for single contracts up to 1,000 crores, underscoring our execution capabilities in the infrastructure segment. In the concrete sleeper segment, the GMR order worth almost 250 crores continues to progress well, and cash flows from the same are expected to ease the working capital requirements going further. We have calibrated our operations to ensure that any disruptions are not only temporary, but also we can resume quickly, and as a result, we believe we are in a strong position. Given our track record on project execution capabilities, a robust order book, strong cash flows, and improving working capital position, and most importantly, robust growth prospects, we believe that GPT Infra Projects is entering a virtuous cycle of growth and is well set for the next phase. That is all from my side. I will now request the moderator to open the call for any questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. First question is from the line of Viral Shah from Prabhudas Liladhar. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving an opportunity. So my first question is, sir, in terms of order book visibility, could you elaborate more on the railways, how the order book pipeline stands at, and what are the verticals where we are seeing a good traction in terms of order book? That is my first question. And second question is on the labor availability front. What is the labor availability has on date in the month of June? What was the execution run rate in the first quarter? So these are two first questions to start with. Sir.
So in terms of order availability and pipeline, like I said, this quarter we have seen incremental order inflow of almost 159 crores. So last full year we saw incremental order inflows of almost 930 crores. We are obviously due to the relaxed bidding requirements till December, there is a lot of competition, and we are bidding for contracts wherein we have higher experience, very good competency, so that we preserve our hurdle rate of a bit of 13 to 14%, and we believe that we should be able to bag new orders in this financial year of a similar quantum of what we bagged last year. So that would enable us to have a higher order book at the end of the financial year FY22 compared to what we were at the end of financial year FY21. So FY21 we were at almost 18.3 billion, and I think that at the end of FY22 we expect to be almost at 20 billion in terms of closing order book.
In terms
of labor availability, so labor availability was poor again in March, in April and May, but I think but June onwards labor availability has improved, and since then there have not been too much of disruptions in terms of availability of labor, which is also speaking on our executions. Our execution has been stronger compared to what we had done in last year first quarter. So last year first quarter we had it is a growth of almost 46% compared to last year. So labor availability is not an issue as such, right, as we speak.
Fair enough, sir. Sir, in terms of guidance, would you like to give some guidance in terms of revenue as well as your EBITDA for FY22? And if you take a 3 to 5 years view, where do we see the company in terms of growth going forward? Thank you, sir. That's all.
So, this year, people are expecting another third wave to come. So it is very difficult to give a guidance for the full year because I think that we will only able to give that in the second quarter when we do a half-year earnings call. I would not want to give a guidance unless there is some what visibility whether the third wave will come or not.
Fair enough, sir. That's fine. So from a visibility point of view, since we have been adding a good amount of orders, last year was a good order inflow, this year also will be a good order inflow, and I believe that average execution for the order will be 2.5 to 3 years. Don't you feel that from a 3 year or a five year perspective, the growth visibility, the CAGR run rate in terms of revenue on that can be stronger, and it could be
so CAGR. I think that we should hit a high teens to close to 20% in terms of revenue growth, and obviously that will be disproportionate because of operational efficiencies and lower interest as well as depreciation. So in terms of revenue, I think we will be at almost close to in higher teens to 20 to close to 20% CAGR growth.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rikesh Parikh from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of number. I would like to have some light on the how is the ordering tendering the we are seeing and the competition intensity in the current context.
So, like I said in my reply to the previous question as well, due to the relaxed requirement in terms of the bidding criteria, the earnest money for the bids, ordering activity is in terms of competition is quite high, because I think there's a lot of background noise. So there are a number of bidders who are participating in each bid, which is quite high, and that relaxation is there till December of this year. Suppose that the relaxation, once the relaxation is withdrawn, the competition should come down. However, we are mindful of our hurdle rate, and we are bidding for contracts which meet our core competencies and wherein we can achieve our hurdle rate of EBITDA so that we don't compromise on the margins.
Okay, that's helpful. Second is, in the opening remark, you talked about the arbitration case with NHAI. We have gone for to appeal to a committee. So can you throw some more light on it? How is the process and how much time does it typically take for the reconciliation process as such?
So we have one conciliation committee hearing has already happened. Second one is scheduled this week. So as per the standard operating procedure of NHAI, this typically takes 6 months.
6 months. Okay. Thanks. That's it from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Arif Hussain from ProfitMart Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Can you please throw some light on working capital days in quarter one of FY22? If you can please give the exact number of working capital days.
So working capital days, we can get back to you. We can't give a number offhand because Q1, we do give that in our presentation on a half yearly and an annual basis. So Q1, we don't give that number out, and Q3 also we don't. However, if you can send an email offline to Stellar or Ms. Pooja Agarwal, either of them will reply to you on a one-to-one basis.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may please press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mihir Desai from Desai Investments. Please go ahead. Mihir, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your questions.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be on the macro front. Out of demand.
Sorry, your voice got this.
New orders coming in from here, sir?
Hello.
Mihir, your voice is breaking. You know, if you can just speak on the handset, it would be helpful.
Better now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So on the macro front, I just wanted to understand. Railway sector is seeing a lot of demand. And so what is the order you see coming in from this sector and things developing on ground level? If you could throw some color on this.
So like I said, railway has a has always been building new infrastructure because they want to improve the speed on the railway track. They want to improve the freight traffic, and also they want to do high-speed corridors. So, and Indian Railway is also envisaging 3 freight corridors post the completion of these 2 corridors of the Western and the Eastern corridors, which are on the verge of completion in the next 1 or 2 years. And with a new railway minister in place, obviously there's a larger focus on new contracts that will come out. We expect to be, we are one of the few bidders who has, or companies who has done mega bridges for railways. So we have done a double-decker bridge over Ganga in Patna, done a bridge over Kosi in North Bihar. We also done bridges over Bhagirathi, Ganga, and Chambal, various bridges over the country, in the country. So we expect that ordering activity should be quite healthy in this current fiscal as well. And this year we should also either meet or kind of exceed the last year's order inflow of 930 crores. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, so did I answer your question or something else?
My line. So Yes, answered. And sir, just a follow-up on this. So do you expect this year or?
Sorry, your voice is breaking.
Amir, I'm sorry you're breaking. So I would just request you to, you know, maybe disconnect and reconnect and come back in the queue. In the meanwhile, we'll move to the next question from the line of Pradeep Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Good morning.
See, you mentioned about 530 crore. I missed because there was some disconnection. So what is this 530 crore in terms of railways?
I didn't mention anything of 530 crore. I said 930 crores was the order inflow last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that total order inflow, we expect this year to be either meeting the 930 crores we did last year or better than that.
Okay. Could you throw some light on your activities with railways, since you have a long relationship with them? Are there any other areas that you may be looking at?
We are doing, like I said in my previous reply as well, we are doing for railways, we are doing bridges, we are doing supply of concrete sleepers, we are doing track laying works, we are doing metro contracts. So these are typically the areas that we are currently doing. Obviously, we have to, in any infrastructure contract, we have to have done the work in the past. We have to have credentials to do similar work. So we will need to build on our strength and bid for contracts wherein we meet the qualification criteria and are able to bag contracts in those segments as mostly.
And for metro contracts, what scope of business you do?
Metro, we are doing elevated viaducts. We are doing station buildings, primarily track laying.
And would it be possible to share that out of the railways, how much is the rail metro contracts?
Of the current order book of 18.6 billion that we have, I would say about 8% would be metro.
8% would be metro. And in times to come, in the next 2 to 3 years, where do you see this figure?
I think that a lot of Indian cities are getting metros, so this figure should go to about 15-odd%.
15-odd%.
But again, with a caveat that we do bid for contracts, but we are very, very mindful of our margins. Some of the metro contracts do not meet our hurdle rates, so sometimes we do not get them. But I think that we are continuously bidding for contracts within our hurdle rate of EBITDA of 13 to 14%. So if we are able to back contracts in that range, we are more than happy.
And in metro space, do you have some other scope also that you would be entering into?
Like I said, track laying, elevated viaducts, station building. That is something that we can do, or we are doing rather. And obviously, smaller tunnels we can do. Larger tunnels we have to take collaborations for or joint ventures for.
Okay. And since a lot of railway stations are getting changed or so, are you participating in that also?
Are mostly real estate plays. Those are not EPC or core EPC contracts. They are mostly real estate based. So you have to build hotels, malls, and station redevelopment along those lines, like recently was inaugurated by the Honorable Prime Minister in Gujarat.
So you really do not go with the civil part of it or infrastructure part of it?
We do civil and infrastructure, but we don't do real estate.
No, I understand you don't real estate, but if, say, some other organization has taken the contract, then do you participate to do this?
We don't typically do a subcontract for another private company.
Okay. Okay. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sadanand Shetty from True Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Atul.
Hi.
Can you talk about the two contracts that you lost out in a high-speed JV with the GR Infra? Is that the competition is intensifying in that space? Our general assumption is that you are one of the best in terms of margin and execution. In both, you are either three or two. Can you talk about it?
No, I can, but at the end of the day, the in how EPC contracts are finalized in India is that it is L1 which gets the contracts. So in the respective two orders, the were, like you said, L2 and L3. So you're right that competition is heating up, and we are always mindful of our margin of 13% to 15% or 13% to 14%, honestly. So we don't like to bid for contracts below that, because we always believe that, especially in the times right now wherein steel prices are quite high, if you tend to compromise on your margin, you can burn your fingers pretty quickly. So I'm sure that the respective companies who have got the contract have done their calculations and justifications, and maybe there is something that we have missed out, and our team does check what if and what we have missed out, but apparently we have not. So maybe their hurdle rates are lower than us. That's all I can say.
Okay. If you see some of the participants, it seems they are new player. Is that true? Like KEC Sam and KEC Sam, yeah?
KEC is not a new player. KEC is an old
in bridges. No,
KEC is doing bridges. They have done in the last 3 years. They have done some bridges. But at the end of the day, they have got the contracts, like you're saying, in a joint venture. So I'm sure that they have done the calculation. It is a large company, so I'm sure they've done the calculation.
Sure. You talked about station building. Is that the new area you are looking at? Is it what the government is actually opening tenders for station building work is, or it's something pure EPS work that you are looking at?
So station building, I talked about only in terms of metro contracts, wherein there are composite contracts along with the elevated corridors. We are not doing the station buildings which are being given for the by the Indian Railways per se for the redevelopment of their stations.
Right. You talked about profits going higher than the revenue. For that, your margin should expand, right?
So margins will expand. At EBITDA level, it may expand by 50 to 100 basis points, but below EBITDA, you also have depreciation and interest, which will not grow, or which will rather which will not grow. So as a percentage, it will come down. So that is why PBT and PAT will improve.
Sure, understood. Understood. Thank you very much, Atul.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants: anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Mihir Desai from Desai Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks again for the opportunity.
Yep, please go ahead.
So I have a few questions on Africa business. That you had mentioned that Africa's sleeper business is facing some headwinds. So do you expect this to change anytime soon, or we are going to change our strategy in Africa?
No, so Africa, we have two facilities, one in South Africa, one in Namibia. So I'll speak first about Namibia, because Namibia is operating at an all-time high capacity utilization, and in the current quarter, means Q2, we have also received a dividend from the associate in Namibia, and the cash flows and the dividend in the Namibian operations are quite healthy, and they, like I said, they are operating at an all-time high there. In terms, so that, there is no issue in terms of the Namibian operations. That is an associate for us. We are 37% shareholder there. In terms of South Africa, as some of you might have seen in the news recently in the last 1 month, there has been some civil unrest in that country, partly because of some political unrest, partly because of some lockdowns because of the COVID impact. So the operations in the South African subsidiary have been disrupted in the last, since June. And however, having said that, in the last week or so, the things have stabilized there and cooled off. So, and because of the local community confidence building measures, so we expect that from the first of, in the next 15 to 20 days, the operations will again restart there because there was a lot of labor unrest and all that. So that all is being, again, confidence building measures are again being redone so that that issue is no longer there. So South Africa, we should see resumption of in terms of the production and all that in the next 15 to 20 days.
So follow up on this, if you could share the utilization level of Namibian facility.
So in Namibia, we have a capacity of almost 200,000 sleepers per year. This year, we will do close to 165,000, which is almost 80 to 82%.
Okay. So now, a few questions on order book. So can you please throw some light or elaborate on the new order of 159 crores, which we have bagged in quarter one?
So those orders, like I said, are incremental orders. So we are doing a contract in for RBNL in Mathura, between Mathura and Jhansi, some bridges over Chambal and a couple of other bridges there in a single contract. So in that, we have received some incremental orders of almost 150 crores, which are on the bridges in the near Agra. So most of the order inflow has been from that contract. Incremental order inflow is from that new, from that existing contract.
Okay. And sir, what would be the execution period of these projects?
It's all the entire order book is to be executed over the next 2 to 2.5 years.
Okay. Sure. 2 to 2.5 years. Sure, sir. If I have any further, so and lastly on COVID, I just wanted to ask, sir. Definitely, it is not in our hand to predict anything regarding the third wave. But if the third wave comes, like, what is our strategy, or have we, you know, built some war chest? Or, sir, I just wanted to understand from your end.
So, A, the company has taken a policy and they have already vaccinated all its employees and laborers. So, I think that gives the employees and the laborers a lot of confidence. B, obviously, war chest as such is not required because, obviously, work is going on everywhere. Now, everyone has realized that they need to live with COVID. So, with all the safety precautions and any advisory from the government that needs to be followed, in terms of local lockdowns, if any. So, means there might be some minor disruptions here and there. We don't anticipate a major disruption the third wave.
Okay. Sure. And lastly, on the EBITDA margin, sir, what would be the sustainable EBITDA margin which we can consider for, you know, coming years, like 22 and 23?
14% is something that is a sustainable margin, we think, and that historically we have been close to 14%. And that is something that is sustainable, and that is what we strive for.
Sure, sir. If I have further questions, then I'll join the queue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may please press star and one at this time. Next question is from the line of Shruti Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I just have two questions. First, if you can share what is the debt position as on 30th June 2021 and what would be the cost of debt for the company?
So, means funded limit is about 220 crores at an average cost of almost 10%.
And what will be the utilization level, sir?
Utilization would be about 92 to 93%.
Okay, sir. Okay. And so, second question, sir. You mentioned in the opening remarks that we are expecting the arbitration award of around 30 crores. So,
I've not given number on the arbitration award. Sorry.
Sir, I think I must have read it somewhere. So, I just wanted to understand, see, like this will come in this fiscal or maybe the next fiscal. When do we expect that?
So the arbitration award in our favor is 61 crores.
Okay.
As I said in my opening remarks, the subsidiary has opted for a conciliation with NHAI. Already there has been one meeting of the conciliation committee, and the second meeting is expected this week. We expect the matter to be resolved in the next 6 months. And what amount we will get, that depends on the negotiations in the conciliation committee, and if we are able to do an amicable settlement, obviously we will strive for that.
Okay, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mohit Bansal from Ajinkya MPL. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the very good set of numbers. Sir, I've been on the call since the beginning, and I've been tracking the company. So, you know, you're protecting your EBITDA margins, and, you know, this is a high ROCE company now, and the cost of debt is also reducing. But what we've been observing is, sir, that the numbers are not growing in terms of the top line. So I wanted to know the management view, sir, on how the company can reach, you know, from a 1,000 crore kind of execution to, what are the targets? I mean, let's say a five year or a 10 year target. I know it's the wrong question to ask in a con call, quarterly con call, but still we wanted to understand the management view on this.
Thanks, Mohit, for the question. Like I said in one of my previous replies, we expect the revenue CAGR to be in a high teens to close to 20%. So, it is for this financial year. I would not like to give a guidance because of the COVID issues. However, we think that in the second quarter conference call, we will be able to have some clarity on COVID and give a guidance. But in the long term, we expect a CAGR growth of in the high teens to close to 20%.
So the question is precisely that, sir. You see this company growing to a 5,000-6,000 crore order book and execution of 2,000-3,000 crores per annum, protecting these margins that we have.
So we are, like I've always repeatedly said in previous calls as well, we are very mindful of the hurdle rate of EBITDA. We don't want to compromise on that because in an EPC company, we think that is very important. So the growth in the revenue will be at a similar margin level.
Okay. And so one more question. The South Africa business, is it an important business for us or, it's a very small business, although it's a high margin business. But what is the outlook of the company on
it is for example, in Namibia, the operations, we are receiving dividend and royalty of almost, this year we expect almost 5 to 6 crores of dividend and royalty to come from the Namibian operations. So I think that that is a good annuity kind of cash flow that the company or the is receiving from its associate in Namibia. In terms of South Africa, barring the disruptions of the last 30 days and which is expected to again get streamlined in the next 20 to 25 days, South Africa has also been giving good cash flow and dividend to the company over the last now more than 12 years. So I think that that is a business which is giving good margins and good returns. It's a high, like you said, a high margin business. Top line might be small, but margin is quite high.
Okay, yes, so we understand that business is good, but in terms of, you know, growing that business abroad or maybe divesting that as well, any call on that?
No, I don't think that divestment is on the horizon for that business. In terms of growing that business abroad, obviously the last 15-20 months because of COVID and travel restrictions thereon, there has been any movement on that front. Our team is always in talks with various other railways to grow that business. Having said that, in Africa, unless you're able to travel and meet the persons physically, it is very difficult to do these kind of discussions on a Zoom or a con call. So whenever the travel restrictions are eased out, obviously we are reaching out to countries in the African continent so that we are able to get new contracts.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. And so one, my last question is on the cost of debt. Do you see a possibility of reduction in the cost of debt for us?
So compared to last year, cost of debt has come down by almost 125 basis points. And this year, on the overall debt, I think that overall finance cost compared to 39 crores last year, we expect a 5 to 6 crore reduction on the overall finance cost.
How much, sir?
Pardon?
What is the expected reduction in the cost of debt?
I don't know about overall finance cost. Last year was 39 crores. This year, we expect it to reduce by 5 to 6 crores.
Okay, okay. All right, sir. All right. Thanks a lot for answering all the questions. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Participants to ask a question, press star and one. Next question is from the line of Ravi Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, sorry, I joined lately and, you know, my question might have already covered. I just would like to know what is the, you know, current debt level and what would be the going forward scenario.
So the current debt level is about the funded, fund-based limits is almost 220 crores. We are repaying close to 10 to 15 crores every year. And if the conciliation with NHAI does happen, that would again be a significant reduction in the debt. And the cost of debt has also come down, like I said in my previous reply. So this year we expect the finance cost to come down by 5 to 6 crores.
And, you know, would you be able to give the interest rate?
Average cost of debt is almost 10%.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
I would really like to know, rather, I'm very curious to know, what was your expectation from Africa business when you started? What is the situation now? And where do you see in the next 5 to 10 years?
Sure. So when we started South Africa in 2008, at that time we had expected to do about, say, 150,000 sleepers every year, which would translate into revenue of almost 37 to 40 crores, which we did even last year. And our total investment in that business in South Africa currently is about 8 to 9 crores. So against an investment of 8 to 9 crores, we were doing a revenue of almost close to 40 crores at an EBITDA level of 25%. So at an EBITDA of 10 crores, we were doing that kind of business. However, in the last 12 years, we have seen the revenue jump to close to 60 crores. Last year, due to COVID, obviously, the revenue had come down. This year, the last 1 month, the impact is again of COVID is again there. We expect that next year, hopefully, the COVID situation not being there, we should be doing a business of almost 60 crores in Africa at an EBITDA level of almost 25% in South Africa. In Namibia, we have our investment level is what close to. Sorry, I'm just calculating on the top of my head. It's close to 2 crores right now, and like I said in my previous reply, we are getting 4 to 5 crores in terms of dividend and royalty every year. So we are doing 2x of our investment every year, and which is much better than what we had expected when we started the business in 2010-11.
And what are the growth prospects? Or because when you enter into a geography like Africa, you certainly have a very long-term view. That is why you attempt, because they are risky as well as a lot of opportunities are there. So could you throw some light on the next 5 to 10 years? How do you look at maybe going into some more countries or even in the existing countries, the relationships you already have? So you have other products also to offer them or other activities to offer them. So where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
So in Namibia, we are the only concrete sleeper manufacturer. So and their requirement is also not that high. So we will remain to be the only player in that country. In South Africa, we are one of the two or one of the three players, sorry, I should say, right now. So we have grown the business from, like I said, to 150,000 to almost at a peak of almost 270,000 sleepers per annum. Both these countries, the product that we do supply, both these countries, the business cannot grow per se individually in those two countries. We are venturing for other neighboring countries in the SADC region as well as in Eastern Africa, wherein we are trying for new contracts, especially in the countries that are politically and stable countries. So obviously the business in Africa is will grow if you have a long-term view. We started in 2005-06 in Mozambique. We completed that contract over the next 6 years there. Then we did a then we got the contract in South Africa in 2008, and then in Namibia in 2010-11. You have to have a long-term view on Africa, and I think that we do have that. I think that we'd be able to better. We are already bettering the returns on the investment that we have done in Africa.
And still, if you could throw some light, next 5 years, how you are really looking at in expanding, not in the current geography or country, but these 10 to 12 years would have really introduced you to other countries also.
So they have introduced us to other countries. Like I said, we have already bid for a couple of new facilities in other countries as well. And like I said on my previous reply as well, in Africa, unless you can do physical meetings, it's very difficult to convert these proposals into contracts. And we expect that as and when the COVID restrictions are eased out, that is something that our team would be able to go and discuss and close proposals.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question in queue. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Tandia, Executive Director and CFO.